All these meditations that have been described in the fifth chapter of this Upanishad are qualitative meditations. They are called saguna upasanas, which means to say meditations on the Supreme Being as defined by certain supreme qualities. Defined by certain characteristics, such as all pervadingness, creatorship, preservership, destroyership, internal rulership, the character of being a luminous light within, being as vast as space outside, and so on, etc. Whatever be the definition of the ultimate reality, as pointed out in this section of the Upanishad, they have always been with certain qualities. These meditations with qualities or saguna upasanas are supposed to lead the soul to liberation gradually through an ascent known as krama mukti. As has been pointed out already, that this passage called krama mukti, the gradual liberation of the soul attained through saguna upasana or qualitative meditations on the ultimate reality, these processes of ascent are always through the sun. The sun is regarded as a very important place, a halting point of the soul in its ascent to the absolute gradually. Of all the deities who are supposed to direct the soul onwards in its passage upwards, the sun is the most important. It is a very prominent place where the soul is not only purified in a very intensive manner, enhanced in its qualities, properties and capacities, but lands itself in the realm of light as it finds itself in the region of the sun. So, the soul that is to depart the body, after having completed its career of life through meditation in this manner, is said to pray to the sun for opening up a passage. The immediate experience after the body is cast off is one of ascent to the sun. Many types of description are given in the different scriptures as to how the sun receives the soul. Very romantic explanations and very stimulating experiences are all mentioned. When the soul reaches the land of light in the sun, and is glorified in its divine form at that place. So the soul is now on its verge of leaving the body. Having completed the course of its life through meditation, and it prays to the sun. The prayer to the sun and the different types of feelings which the soul experiences or undergoes at the time of its leaving this world for a higher one are mentioned in the following mantras. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya abhitam mukam tattvam pushan napavaruno satya dharmaya drishtaye. O great abode of light, this is addressing the sun. The face of truth is covered with a golden vessel, and therefore I cannot see the truth. I can see only the glare of the vessel of gold that is covering the light of truth. O glorious one, lift this lid of gold with which you have covered this glory of truth inside, for the purpose of my beholding your inner reality, which is my own essence also. The essence in you is my essence. So I have a great privilege, a prerogative of beholding your true nature, which is not the radiance of the beaming rays that you are projecting to baffle the eyes of people. You have an inner being which is hidden behind the rays. Withdraw your rays, uncover this lid, and enable me to behold you as you are in essence, so that I may commune myself with your being. These various stages of ascent of the soul through Krama Mukti are the stages of identification of the self or the soul with the deities mentioned. It is not merely confronting some person, as you see a friend in a hotel or a chowdhury when you are on a journey, who is there to receive you and make different arrangements for you for stay, lodging, boarding, etc. This is not the kind of arrangement which we are expecting from the deities or which the deities are doing. At every particular stage, there is a communion of the soul with that deity, so that it is a regular transcendence and not merely a contact of one individual with another. No transcendence is possible unless there is communion. The absorption of the soul in a particular state is the precondition of the transcendence of that state for the purpose of a higher or a better one. So, the soul gets identified with the being of the sun, becomes one with the sun, and absorbs itself into the reality of the sun, and not merely receive a hospitality from the sun as a guest receives from a friend or a well-wisher. So the prayer is, may I be enabled to absorb myself into your being. May I not merely behold you as an outsider, as I have been looking upon you earlier. For this purpose, enable me to see you through my being rather than through my eyes, as I have been doing earlier. For this purpose again, lift the lid of the golden vessel with which you have been covering the essence of truth that you really are. The golden vessel is the orb of the sun, which we are beholding, seeing every day. But we cannot see the reality behind the sun. That energizing center which is the divine source in the sun cannot be seen with the physical eyes. The glory that is behind the sun is non-physical, super-relative, and it is divine. It is something inscrutable. One of the great miracles of creation is the sun himself. You can't understand what it is. It is not merely light, it is not merely energy. It is something more than all these that our experiments can reveal to us. So, the outward mode through which the sun's reality is manifest to our eyes is to be lifted as if it is a lid, and the true base of truth which is behind has to be beheld. The whole universe may be regarded as a golden vessel which covers the absolute, so that we cannot see that it is there at all. We see only the world outside. We see the objects. We see people. We see activities. We see colors. We see sounds. But we cannot see the basic reality. The waves are so many in number that the ocean at the bottom is not seen. There is only a perception of the relative manifestation of the certain characteristics of reality, but it itself is not seen. So the object of perception, which is this vast universe of colors and sounds, is the lid, as it were, which is golden because it is attractive. We are attracted by the world. We see meaning in the world and we feel that there is a tremendous significance for us in all the objects of sense. As is gold, so is this world. It is not allowing us to go deeper into what is behind it. There is a substratum of this universe of particulars, which is the uniform reality. So the prayer to the divine being is, lift this phenomena, the universe, the object world, which is preventing me from entering into the being, which is the ultimate truth. I am not merely begging of you to do a favor. In fact, I have a privilege to know this, because my essential nature is inseparable from the essential nature of all creation. In the same way as the universe is the lid that covers the absolute outside, this body is the lid that covers the soul within. This body also is a glittering gold which is so attractive, of which we are enamored and we like very much, as do we like everything else in this world also. So personally, this body, this psychophysical individuality, this so-called me, which we like so much, is the golden vessel which prevents us from visualizing the true light that we are essentially. Outwardly, again, there is this multifaceted universe of particular objects, which will not enable us to probe into the reality of Brahman. We cannot see the Atman within on account of the body here. We cannot see Brahman outside because of the universe outside. So this lid, which is outside as well as inside, in the form of this bodily individuality here, inside, and the universe outside, may this lid be lifted so that I may behold the absolute truth. This is a prayer offered to the master of all luminaries, the sun himself. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya apahita mukham tattvam pushan napavaruno satya dharmaya drishtaye. Pushan, O creator of all, ekarshe, a single solitary traveler, alone, unbefriended in this world, Yama, the controller of all people, Surya, who projects rays of light and energy, Prajapatya, the son of the creator Brahma himself, Vyuha Rashmi in Samuha, collect your rays and dazzle not my eyes. What for? Tejo yatte rupam kalyanatamam tatte pashyami. You have a very attractive reality inside you, which is your real being. The most blessed, auspicious being that you really are, may I behold that being. The Purusha within you is also the Purusha within me. This is the similarity between us. This is the affiliation that I have with you. This is the common characteristic that we both have between ourselves. And this is the privilege that I also have to exercise, because the Purusha within me is the Purusha within you. Therefore, O Surya, the sun god, do me this favor, if you would like to call it one, of absorbing me into your bosom, so that I may rise high onward on the path of the realization of the life's goal. Well, I go, it is true. And what happens to this body, which I have been loving so much, which I have been regarding as my own self, with which I have become one practically in my daily life? This body is made up of the five elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. It is an effect of these five elements. Therefore, naturally, the constituents of this body should go back to their sources. What I have borrowed from other sources, I return because I have fulfilled the purpose that I have to achieve through this body. Vayur Anilam Amritam. The air principle within me, the prana that is inside me, becomes one with the cosmic immortal prana. The so-called limited prana within me is a part of the cosmic prana which is Hiranyagarbha, who is immortal. I look mortal and finite because of my limitation to this body. Now the limitation consciousness is gone. And therefore the prana which has been being utilized by me for finite purposes is returned to the cosmic source from where it has been taken over. So Vayu Anilam Amritam, the immortal Vayu, the immortal prana, the Sutratma Hiranyagarbha, to that my prana goes. I become one with Hiranyagarbha. Vayur Anilam Amritam Atha Idam Bhasmantam Shariram. This body becomes ashes when it goes to the cremation ground. It becomes one with the earth. The physical aspect, the physical part of this body is formed of the earth element. It goes to the earth. The wind element or the air element, the prana element goes to the prana and the vayu, the wind. And the water element goes to the water. The fire principle goes to fire. And what else is there in this body except these five elements? They go back to their original cosmic sources. Vayur Anilam Amritam Atha Idam Bhasmantam Shariram. There is a self-investigative prayer. A prayer to one's own mind, as it were. To oneself. May I be able to remember what I have done in this life. This is what an intelligent, self-conscious being would recollect at the time of departure from this body. The time has come to depart this world, and I am now to enter a new realm of new functions altogether and new experiences. Oh, myself, my mind, my understanding, my conscience, remember what you have done in this life. Kratosmara, O will with which I have been working in this world for different purposes. Remember what purposes you have achieved through the application of your functions. Kratosmara, Kratagumsmara, Kratosmara, Kratagumsmara. Twice it is said. Remember what you have done in this life. Because a sincere repentance also sometimes does good. Perhaps repentance is a very potent means of destruction of all evil. It has a very peculiar psychological role to perform in one's career. If the heart really repents from the bottom, then all the mistakes that it might have committed earlier can be wiped off. Naturally, the future is left open. It is clean. And it is not filled with further activities or functions or wills or determinations. And the past, of course, is now repented upon. So a kind of repentance is brought upon the mind at the time of the death of the person. And all possible memories of the past are brought to the surface of consciousness for the purpose of this contemplation, which is a last thought bestowed upon the actions that one performed throughout one's life. It is one of the different practices of sadhakas to do this kind of contemplation every day in the night. What is the manner in which I have spent the day today, from morning to night. What is the good that I have done and what is the purpose fulfilled? In what manner, etc., etc., for what purpose, in what capacity, with all its correlated factors. This kind of contemplation keeps the mind calm and consoled at the time of going to sleep. If there is such a kind of recapitulation of one's deeds throughout the day, then of course the last thought would be nothing but the cumulative effect of these thoughts. Else that will be a very difficult thing to consider at the end of life when everything has been forgotten. But we are here considering the case of a very special individual, not the ordinary individual, the layman of the world as we generally call him. We are here studying the course of the soul of a person who has been regularly engaged in meditation. So naturally, in the case of such a person, there may not be the usual difficulty of people at the time of death, neither any sorrow left in connection with the deeds that one performed, nor any kind of unnecessary repentance because of the fact life has been spent well in meditation itself. The various stages of the ascent of the soul by Karma Mukti have been mentioned earlier. The first stage is supposed to be that of Agni or the god of fire. He is the one who will face you first and everyone will come afterwards. So there is a prayer offered to the Agni or the deity of the divine fire. Agne naya supatha, O divine fire, lead me along the right path for the purpose of higher prosperity that I am to achieve. Rahe asman vishwani deva vayunani vidvan. O cosmic fire, who is a representative of the universal Vaishvanara himself, you know everything, you are omniscient, there is nothing hidden from your view, and therefore you know what is best for me. You know the right path along which I have to tread. So show me that path, O God of fire. Agni naya supatha raya asman vishwani deva vayunani vidvan. Yodhyasmat juhuranam. If I have done any mistakes, please destroy these errors of mine. Anything that is inimical to the path, anything that is of an obstructive character, in my ascent onwards, anything that one may regard as evil or undesirable, may that be destroyed by the force of your fire. Yoyo dhyasmat juhuranamena bhuyishthamte nama uktim midheva. We prostrate ourselves before you again and again, sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts. With this prayer, the soul leaves the body. And then it is taken over to the realm of Agni or flame or the god of fire. Then so on, upwards through the passage of the sun, it reaches Brahmaloka, Prajapati Loka, the realm of the creator. And then it reaches the supreme absolute. The opinion is generally held that the soul will be in Brahmaloka till the end of this universe. When the universe is dissolved, Hiranyagarbha also gets back to the source. At the end of the cosmic dissolution, the soul goes back to the absolute. Until that time, it remains there. This is the belief of the great teachers of the Upanishad. Here, we come to a close of the 5th chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Now we may go back to the point where we left out in the 1st chapter. Because of the necessity to maintain a connection of thought or subject, we left out some portions and went away to the third chapter, the second chapter, towards the end of it. Because those portions we have left out are of a similar nature as the ones that we have been studying from the fifth chapter onwards. They are certain upasanas of a symbolic nature, qualitative character. So one of them is in the first chapter and a little of it in the beginning of the second chapter. These meditations which we have studied in the fifth chapter are practically continued in their essentiality in the themes of these passages which we are going to study, but they occur in the first chapter itself. They are also meditations. How we can contemplate or concentrate our minds in such a way that whatever we are individually and whatever things are outwardly are brought together into unison, so that there is no rift between ourselves and the outer world. That is the purpose of the meditations. The worlds outside, the various realms of existence in the external creation, and our own selves individually are to be set in tune with each other. They are to be harmonized. This is the function of meditation. We are not to sit outside the world as if we are independent of it. We are a part of it, we know. But this has to be emphasized, and it has to be realized in our experience.